This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is 9.07 in the morning. In the meantime, though, let's also take a look at the activity over on Bursa Malaysia.
Wow, I haven't seen this in a very long time, but all markets are up today.
Okay.
All green.
All right. Good week.
So, yeah. Good start to the week. It's still early days yet. Okay. But Bursa is up 0.04. Still below the magical 1600 levels. Straits Times, Singapore Straits Times is up 0.31% to 3124. Nikkei is up 0.6%. Kospi is up 0.4%. And Australia is having a really good day. It's up 0.8%. Now we look at the top volume. Sapura Energy is on the top of the list with 14 million shares traded, up 3.7%. C-Link is up 8% with 8 million shares traded. Naim is up 4.62% with almost 8 million shares traded too. Meanwhile, if we look at the ringgit versus the US dollar, the ringgit has appreciated slightly to 4.1763.
Okay, so I guess the Asian market got the call from the US, a good call, positive call. I mean, things didn't look so shabby in the US. On Friday, stock rallied as a rebound in bond yields eased fear of recession. So we saw Dow Jones up about 1.2%, S&P 500 up 1.4%, and NASDAQ was up 1.7%.
All right. And also earlier this morning, for some thoughts on whether a US recession is imminent, we spoke to Kingsley Jones, chief market strategist with Jevons Global in Sydney. And we asked him, although US economic indicators remained positive, American consumer sentiment is showing signs of waning optimism. So we asked Kingsley whether the onset of recession will turn out to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, as you noted with that volatility, I mean, anything could happen. We think it's likely we will see recession in some economies like Germany that have a high manufacturing component and also big trade exposure. And that's simply because the trade war is having a very negative effect on economies that are involved in manufacturing or otherwise have high levels of trade. However, the modest oil prices and low interest rates that we're seeing, they are stimulatory. And we have to remember, I think, that the bulk of the global economy, as measured by GDP, is now in emerging markets. So I think a lot will depend on what happens there. And certainly there are some beneficiaries of trade war, such as Vietnam, albeit it's a small economy. So, look, any prolonged tightening of financial conditions is a thing that could derail that. When the US dollar rises and money gets tight, that's bad for emerging markets. So we'll have to watch that closely. This cycle's maybe the first ever in which we have that condition where the bulk of the global GDP is now emerging markets. And that's why we think the Fed's cutting in spite of what are still good conditions in the US. They do have some eye on what is happening at the side. And, if you remember the old saying, when the US sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And maybe the new question for today is what happens to the US if the rest of the world catches pneumonia. So with that in mind, I think the Fed is likely to keep cutting rates, and that's good for defensive stocks and those that benefit in valuation terms from lower interest rates.
So all eyes will be on the Federal Reserve's annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, beginning Wednesday. Kingsley weighs in on the signals investors are hoping for from the Feds.
Well, the signal from the bond markets has been increasingly bearish, notwithstanding that reversal of the 2-year to 10-year inversion that we saw last week. I'd point out, and I think many have said this, that normally, there's a bit of a delay between any such inversion and a recession, if there is one, and that can be anything from 1 to 2 years. So I think the important thing as we approach the Jackson Hole meeting is to understand that central bankers are fully cognizant of that. So they're unlikely to be moving very quickly at this point in time because there is always a bit of a lag. However, having said that, I think that as far as the policy discussion goes, there will be an increased focus on the transmission mechanisms of trade. You know, if trade starts falling around the world, that is a negative to growth and there are knock-on effects. And central banks will probably be discussing at this meeting their different views on how important that is for the setting of domestic interest rates policy. So I think that'll be the dominant theme to come out of it, but we'll watch it closely to see what happens.
We also asked Kingsley whether the Feds would switch from insurance cuts in rates to full-blown easing, including more quantitative easing.
Personally, I doubt that, because one of the other factors that will figure in their thinking, particularly for the Federal Reserve, which, as we all know, pretty much de facto sets monetary conditions for large parts of the world, I think they'll be reluctant to do that because they don't want to set off a negative spiral of falling confidence that might result if people felt that the Fed was truly worried that we're about to enter a deep slump. With that in mind, I think that they'll probably try to find a middle ground on their language, which avoids setting off a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of recession talk.
And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Market Strategist with Jevons Global in Sydney. But bringing it back home a little bit as well, Malaysia's second quarter GDP posted economic growth of 4.9%. This was beating the average analyst expectations of 4.6%. In comparison, GDP growth for the first quarter was 4.5%. And actually, Bank Negara Governor Datuk Nur Shamsiah Mohamed Yunus, she said that all economic sectors have expanded.
So the strong growth was on the back of a higher household spending and private investment. Central Bank is also maintaining its 2019 GDP projection of 4.3 to 4.8% for the nation, despite slowing global growth.
Yes. So for some analysis on what this says about Malaysia's economy, earlier this morning we spoke to Donald Hanna, chief economist with CIMB Group, and we asked him what was most noteworthy about results for this quarter.
The fact that the household consumption number was so strong, which is good for the second quarter, it's less good going forward because household incomes aren't growing at 13%. And therefore, unless indebtedness is going to rise, households aren't going to be able to spend that much money going forward. So the growth numbers are going to decelerate. Also, everyone is focused on the year-on-year numbers, but when you were looking forward, we want to look at the quarter-to-quarter numbers. That tells you more about the trend. And when you look at those figures, you see that actually growth decelerated, only modestly, but did decelerate from 4.3% annualized in the first quarter to 4.1% in the second.
And that was Donald Hanna, chief economist with CIMB Group. And we actually did run a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account asking you, is Malaysia heading for a recession? We had about 170 votes. And of these votes, 42% said, yes, we are heading for a recession. Another 30% said no. And another 27% said don't know. And I think this is quite interesting, right? Because it does kind of reflect that even though we talk about the fact that economic indicators and the actual basics of our economy are not that bad, clearly sentiment on the ground doesn't reflect that.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got some Twitter response, and I think this one reflects what you've just said earlier, Lynn. Up 41 via Twitter, thanks for your tweet, saying that based on the GDP growth rate, there is no recession, but the poll may indicate that most feel a slowdown in business. So that means growth is not perhaps properly distributed, who is prospering and who is suffering.
And I like this tweet from my sir, because he has this on-the-ground way of determining whether there's a recession. But he's not far from the truth, or she's not far from the truth. It's only a recession if there's no longer any waiting list for new cars. And so far, the waiting list is still ongoing. People are still traveling. Restaurants are still packed. But the question is, for this half of the year, maybe, or maybe until first half of 2020?
Yeah, so because, I mean, we've heard just now from Kingsley that there is a lagging effect, isn't it? I mean, even though we've heard about the inversion and so forth, but it might take on effect maybe months from now, 12 months, 18 months.
Yeah, because the other thing that Kingsley said was that central bankers are not likely to react too quickly to this inversion, right? Because just because bond yields in the US have, the treasury yields in the US have inverted, doesn't mean that a recession is going to be happening tomorrow or next month. It means that there could be a recession, possibly within the next 18 months to 2 years. And you're wary of it also being a self-fulfilling prophecy.
For Malaysia, the key thing is to look at consumption, right? Because the GDP, 53% of that is consumption. The only worrying thing is if we start seeing massive job numbers coming, unemployment increasing, then you will really see consumption kind of slow down, and for sure GDP will shrink. That's a very important indicator other than exports and manufacturing.
So, I mean, at the same time, I mean, just looking at our consumption, I wonder whether or not the gig economy has anything to do with just sort of putting more money in the pocket of everyday people in some ways.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.